This morning's passage comes to us from the New Testament, from Luke's gospel, as he recounts part of the Christmas story. Hear now these words. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we would be saved from our enemies. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, today is the third installment of our Christmas at the Movie series. And if you've been with us, we've been looking at some classic Christmas movies and how they point us to the real meaning, to the deeper meaning of what Christmas is all about. And so we began 3 weeks ago by looking at the classic 1946 film, It's a Wonderful Life, and how it reminds us that, you know what, our lives matter, that the worst thing is never the last thing, and that there's always hope. And sometimes that hope, that message of hope, comes from people like you and me who are willing to be God's messengers, to be an angel. We also looked at the 1947 film, Miracle on 34th Street, and how that points us to faith, really, and to how through faith we find a deeper truth, and how all of us are called to represent the Christ child, to be a Kris Kringle in the world. Now today we shift our focus to a more modern movie. It's the movie Elf. All right, believe it or not, it was released 20 years ago this year. So it was released back in 2003. Now it's not quite a classic, but it's quickly becoming so, because every Christmas season you find it on the networks and on cable and anywhere and everywhere, over and over and over again, being shown. And it's a movie starring Will Ferrell. And if you know Will, this is, I think, is probably one of his best movies that he's done. It did pretty good at the box office, and it's even been made into a Broadway musical. Now, I'll just say this. Elf is probably a little more of a kid's movie than for the rest of us, but because it kind of connects with them. Will Ferrell's humor in this really kind of, I think, connects with kids. My kids always loved it growing up. And yet within the story of Buddy the Elf, we find a wonderful message of redemption, a message that points us to really what the Christmas story is all about. So let me remind you of how the story begins. It begins with a Christmas Eve, and Santa is delivering gifts at an orphanage. And as he's delivering presents, a little baby boy crawls out of his crib and is straight into Santa's sack, unknowingly to Santa, who then returns to the North Pole with a baby boy in his sack. Take a look.
We've had another very successful year. So, after all that hard work, it's time to start preparations for next Christmas. What in the name of Sam Hill is that?
Little Buddy Diapers.
His name is Buddy. He must have snuck into your sack at the orphanage. What do we do?
So, Santa had a decision to make. Fortunately, when it comes to babies, Santa's a pushover. So Buddy stayed with an older elf who had always wanted a child, but had been so committed to building toys, he had forgotten to settle down. Santa! Yes, I raised Buddy.
Now, Buddy, the baby, he's known as Buddy because it said on his diapers, Buddy, and so that's what they believed his name to be. He's adopted by Papa Elf, who's played by the late Bob Newhart. He had always longed to be a dad, but never had time for that because he was so focused on his work. So he adopts him and raises Buddy as an elf, as only an elf knows how. Now, obviously, Buddy is clearly different than all the other elves. And so in this next scene, Buddy is in school, and it's there in school that he learns the code of the elves. Take a look.
Let's recite the code of the elves, shall we? Number one.
Treat every day like Christmas.
Number two.
There's room for everyone on the nice list.
Number three.
The best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear.
Now, what was the code of the elves? Do you remember them? Treat every day like it's Christmas. There's room for everyone on the nice list. And the best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear. That's a great sermon right there, right? I mean, we can learn a lot from this, the code of the elves here. So again, what's the first one? To treat every day like Christmas. Why? Well, let's think about this. There's something obviously special about Christmas Day, but the whole season in general, it's a time of the year when a lot of good is done, is it not? There's a tendency to think about others more often maybe than we do the rest of the year, to help the less fortunate, to remember the least and the lost. You know, Jesus said some things about that, didn't he? Right? I mean, John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, had a code as well. He called it, you know, we call it now Wesley's General Rules. And one of the rules was do all the good you can by all the means you can and all the ways that you can and all the places you can at all the times you can to all the people you can as long as you can. And so the challenge, and to me how this code speaks to us today and points us to the Christmas story, is to really to treat every day like Christmas and not simply during part of the year. To remember others, right? The least, the last, to see the good, right? Think about others more often. To treat every day like it's Christmas. Now, Buddy obviously is a little different. He's bigger than everyone else. He's not as efficient as in making toys as the other elves are. He doesn't make nearly as many as the others can do. And so in this next scene I want to show you, he finally understands why he's so different. Take a look.
You just say it. I'm the worst toy maker in the world. I'm a cotton-headed ninny muggins.
No, Buddy, you're not a cotton-headed ninny muggins. We all just have different talents, that's all.
Seems like everyone else has the same talents except for me.
You have lots of talents. Special talents, in fact. Like, special talents?
You changed batteries in the smoke detector?
You sure did. Triple A's. And in 6 months, you'll have to check them again. Won't you?
Yeah, and you're the only baritone in the elf choir. You bring us down a whole octave.
In a good way.
Buddy's killing me. I already got Lum Lum and Choo Choo pulling doubles.
Quick thinking yesterday with that special talents thing.
I feel bad for the guy. Just hope he doesn't get wise.
Well, if he hasn't figured out he's a human by now, I don't think he ever will.
I think they're too small.
They're just special.
You don't look so good, Buddy. Are you okay?
I'll be okay. I just need a glass of water.
Did you recognize the supervisor elf there, Ming Ming, the one with the puffy white things on his chest? Ming Ming was played by the actor Peter Billingsley. Now, why is that significant? Well, Peter Billingsley was the star in the movie A Christmas Story, right? Anyway, he plays Ralph in that Christmas classic there. But in this scene, Buddy learns that he's human. He's not really an elf. He's human, and that's why he's so different from everyone else. Now, knowing this, Papa Elf shares with Buddy the truth as to who he really is, and that Buddy's mother had put him up for adoption. She died soon after that. Buddy's mother and father were not together at that time, so Buddy's father never even knew that Buddy had been born, you know, that his mother, Susan Wells, was even pregnant. So he doesn't even know that he has this son. But Papa Elf knows where Buddy's father lives, and that is in New York City. And so Buddy dreams of what it would be like to connect with his father. He dreams of what they'll do together. He dreams of the love that they're going to share with one another. And so he decides to go on a quest, to go to New York City to seek out his biological father. Now, the biological father is played by, his name is Walter Hobbs, and he's played by the actor James Caan. But before he sets out on his adventure, Buddy gets some disturbing news about his biological father. Santa himself breaks it to him. Take a look.
I hear you're going on a little journey to the big city.
Yep. Kind of nervous. Can't wait to see my dad. We're going to go ice skating and eat sugar plums.
You know, Buddy, your father, well, he's on the naughty list.
Now, what's the second part of the elf code? There's room for everyone on the nice list. Now, I think about this part of the code, and especially in light of children, because children have this tendency to see the good in everybody, right? I love that about kids. They seem to see the positive rather than us, or at least myself. We have a tendency to see the negative or to assume the worst about others or judge others. Buddy, like a child, sees the best in everyone. But upon learning that his dad is on the naughty list, his quest then is not only to connect with his dad, but also to help him change his ways. Why? Because, again, the code of the elves is everyone can be on the nice list. It's a redemptive statement. It's a hope-filled statement. It doesn't say that everybody is on the nice list. It says that everyone can be on the nice list, which means there's room for people like Buddy's biological father, Walter, to be on the nice list. Because he's on the naughty list. And why is he on the naughty list? Because as we learn later in the movie, Walter is self-absorbed. He's self-centered. He is a workaholic. He's generally not a nice person. And so in a way, Elf the movie becomes a story of redemption, of Buddy seeking, again, not only to connect to his father, but to help him change his ways so that he's on the nice list. Isn't that what Christmas is all about? Part of the Christmas story, the message of Christmas? What is God, the message? God sends his son to the world, right? To do what? To forgive us. To change us. To redeem us, right? I mean, in his coming, Jesus reminds us who we are meant to be, who God calls us to be. Why? So that we might be on the nice list. It's not like we can earn our way onto the nice list. There's nothing that we can do to get ourselves on the nice list. That is only through the grace of God. But Jesus comes to redeem us, to transform us, to help us see who we were created to be. In essence, to move us to the nice list. And so again, Buddy sees part of his task to love his father, to help transform his father so that he becomes someone who's on the nice list. And so he heads out to the big city of New York, and of course, he encounters a very different world than his own, with different values and different beliefs, a world where people seem to be mostly focused on themselves. Now, because of his outfit, because of his elf uniform, by the way, is a nod to the animated classic Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, because if you've ever seen that, notice what the elves wear. Notice what the elves wear in this movie. All right, but people see him dressed like that, and they say, "Well, hey, man, you're supposed to be at Gimbel's, right? You need to go to Gimbel's, to the department store there. Gimbel's, remember that? That's another nod to another movie, 34th, The Miracle on 34th Street." So, Buddy goes to Gimbel's, where he's confronted by this manager who believes that he works there. I mean, he's dressed like an elf, so he must work in the toy department. He must be helping, working with Santa there. And so in this next scene, though, we get a sense of the difference, though, in the joy that is in Buddy's heart and the focus of much of the rest of the world that we live in. Take a look.
What's this?
This is the North Pole.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not. Where's the snow?
Why are you smiling like that?
I just like to smile. Smiling's my favorite.
Make work your favorite. That's your favorite, okay?
Okay.
Work is your new favorite.
Fine.
It's time for the announcement.
Okay.
Okay, people, tomorrow morning, 10 a.m., Santa's coming to town.
Santa! Oh, my God! Santa here? I know him.
So Buddy's there in the toy department, and Santa's coming, and he's so excited that Santa is coming. And did you hear what he said to the manager? He said, "Smiling is my favorite." And the manager says what? "Make work your favorite," right? Work is your new favorite. And so Buddy does that, though. But he does it in his own way, right? All right? Work becomes his new favorite, but he decorates the toy department there as only Buddy the elf can do. And while he's there, though, he encounters Jovi, played by Zoe Deschanel. She's one of the elves there for Santa, working in the toy department there. The only thing is, contrary to her name, she's not very joyful. All right? And so in their exchange, it's difficult for Buddy to understand why she can't experience the same joy that fills his heart. Take a look.
Christmas is the greatest day in the whole wide world.
Please stop talking to me.
Uh-oh. Sounds like someone needs to sing a Christmas carol.
Go away.
Best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear.
Thanks, but I don't sing.
Oh, it's easy. It's just like talking, except louder and longer, and you move your voice up and down.
I can sing, but I just choose not to sing, especially in front of other people.
Well, if you sing alone, you can sing in front of other people. There's no difference.
Actually, there's a big difference.
No, there isn't. Wait. I'm singing! I'm in a store and I'm singing! I'm in a store and I'm singing!
Hey! There's no singing in the North Pole.
Yes, there is!
No, it's not.
We sing all the time!
No, it's not!
Especially when we make toys! See?
Now, why is Buddy so joyful? It goes back to the code of the elves, right? What's the third code? The best way to spread Christmas cheer is to sing loud for all to hear. The best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear. That's what we do during this time of year, doesn't it? Isn't it? I mean, we sing. We sing lots of Christmas carols, don't we? Right? We love them. They're familiar. We've sung them for generations, have we not? They bring out the Christmas spirit in us. But they also tell the Christmas story, don't they? Angels we have heard on high, O little town of Bethlehem, joy to the world. They tell us, they point us to the Christmas story and to the meaning of Christmas. They proclaim the gospel, in other words. And so the code of the elves, what is that? The best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear. I mean, that's what happened in the Christmas story, right? After the angel announced to Mary that she would be with child, she went to see her cousin Elizabeth, who was also expecting a baby. John would be his name, of course. And it's in this encounter with Elizabeth that Mary truly begins to understand who she's called to be and what she's called to do. And so what does she do? She sings loud for all to hear. We call it Mary's song. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me, and holy is his name. It says in the scriptures there in Luke that Mary, she breaks out in song. She sings loud for all to hear. And then when it comes to the birth of John, if you know the story, John's father, Zechariah, had been mute for months because he didn't believe the angel when the angel told him that he was going to be a dad. But now at John's birth, God releases his voice. And what does Zechariah say? We heard it earlier. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we would be saved from our enemies. You know what we call this? We call this Zechariah's song. What is Zechariah doing? He's proclaiming the gospel, isn't he? He's singing loud for all to hear. That's the best way to spread Christmas cheer, is it not? To proclaim the birth of Christ. And so we sing during the Christmas season. We sing these carols, but it's not just about singing. It's about our lives becoming a living carol as well. You know, our lives pointing others to Christ, to the one born in Bethlehem. It's about treating every day like it's Christmas. It's, you know what, and treating and how we treat others. Remembering the least and last and the lost, not just during this season, but throughout the year. Caring for others throughout the year. Assuming the best of people rather than the negative. Believing and wanting everyone to be on the nice list. Helping them to recognize that they are loved by God. And the desire of God for them to love him in return. This is God's desire, right? That we would love him, that everyone would come to know that Jesus Christ came and he gave us his son, what? To redeem us, to give us life. I love 2 Peter, it says this, the Lord is not slow about his promise, as some think of slowness, but is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. One way people come to know God is if we are willing, all right, to become a living Christmas carol, to sing loud for all the world to hear, to point others to Christ, not only through our words, but also in our deeds. Buddy embodies this. You know, Buddy, he's on this quest to find his biological father, but again, to help him get on the nice list. But of course, when Buddy finds his dad is not convinced that Buddy is his son. Until after they do a paternity test, and that confirms it. And then he's not too happy that Buddy, his son, believes that he is an elf. He's taken aback by this. He's put off by this, as anyone would. I mean, how would you feel if you suddenly discovered that you have a child, and that child believes that they are someone of Santa's elves? All right? But Buddy is not deterred, right? He sees the good in everyone. So he strives to connect to his newfound family. He meets his stepmother and his half-brother, and they begin to develop a relationship. And it's through his half-brother, though, that he begins to understand why Walter, his biological father, is on the naughty list. Take a look.
Dad, we're here. Ah! This is the greatest dad in the whole wide world.
Are you kidding? He's the worst dad in the world.
What do you mean?
All he does is work.
Working's fun.
Not the way he does it. All he cares about is money. He doesn't care about you, or me, or anybody.
Well, he is on the naughty list.
You know, I love Buddy's response. He's the greatest dad in the whole world. Why does he believe that? Well, what does the elf code say? All right? Elf code says, see, you know, it basically says, see the good in everybody. But his half-brother, Michael, sets him straight, doesn't he? What does he say about his dad? All he does is he works. All he cares about is money. He doesn't care about anybody. This is why Walter is on the naughty list, right? Walter has forgotten, like many of us forget, what's most important. I mean, Walter Hobbs is consumed by success. He's consumed by meeting deadlines. He's consumed by making more and more money. And so in the process, he's forgotten who he's called to be. And in this case, to be a dad to his two sons. But buddy, what is, his goal is to help transform, to redeem Walter. And so what does he do? He just continues to love on his dad. He continues to see the best about Walter. And this slowly begins to have a positive impact on him. And although, buddy, like many of us, we don't always see the impact we're having. Buddy believes the opposite. Finally, it's Christmas Eve and Walter is trying to meet a deadline. He has to make a presentation to his superiors or he's going to lose his job. And it's in this moment, though, that tragedy strikes. Buddy has run away. Michael, his half-brother, is afraid, and in his frustration and fear, he interrupts his father's big presentation. Take a look.
Dad, I gotta talk to you.
Michael, what is it?
Buddy ran away.
What?
He left a note. I'm scared, Dad. He's gone.
Oh, let me just finish this meeting, and then we'll figure it out, okay?
Figure out what? Buddy cares about everybody. All you care about is yourself.
Hey, Michael. Wait.
I love that line. What did he say? Buddy cares about everybody. Right? Again, isn't that what Jesus is calling us to do? Isn't that what is set in motion in the Christmas story? God's love for us to send us his son. To redeem us, to transform us, so that we might love God and love others. What did Jesus say? Love your neighbor as you love yourself, right? Wesley, do all the good you can in all the ways you can, in all the places you can. It's in this moment that Walter Hobbs begins to remember who he is and where his priorities need to be. See, Christmas has a way of doing that for us, right? It can refocus us, recenter us, remind us of what's most important, family, faith, compassion for others. The movie's climactic conclusion centers on a crisis with Santa's sleigh on Christmas Eve. It seems that the sleigh has lost its power and sort of crash-landed there in Central Park. News reporters have caught wind and gathered on the scene as people have claimed to have seen Santa's sleigh. Now, for Buddy, who never quite fit in, who thought he was nothing more than a cotton-headed ninny muggin, right, who seemed not to have the right talent, found himself in just the right situation at just the right time with just the right gifts to help. For you see, Papa Elf was a tinker. He had built the Kringle 5000, the engine that now powered Santa's sleigh. Now, what does Santa's sleigh need an engine? Well, because Christmas spirit throughout the world had waned. Fewer people believed in Santa. Fewer people thought about others, especially in New York. And so the Christmas spirit that had once powered the sleigh was no more. And now it needed its own engine, which unfortunately lay broken there in Central Park. But you see, Buddy knew how to fix it. And so he finds Santa broken down and hiding there in Central Park. And so while Buddy, though, frantically tries to fix the engine, Jovi from Gimbel's, remember her? She also comes to Central Park to help. And she remembers that the best way to spread Christmas cheer was to sing loudly for all to hear. And so she musters up all the courage that she can, and she begins to sing and to raise the Christmas spirit to help save the day. Take a look.
The best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear. You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if
Wait, you're not singing.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not. You're just moving your lips.
Michael, please, what's the big deal?
Dad?
Santa Claus is coming to town.
You know, in the end, Christmas is saved. Santa's sleigh is once more filled with Christmas spirit. And because of Buddy, Walter Hobbs becomes a new man who understands what's most important, and that is to be a dad to both of his sons. And so the movie ends with this all nice and warm and fuzzy feeling, and, you know, it makes us feel good. And you know, you can leave it at that and just take it all, it's a warm and fuzzy feeling. But if you pause and take a little deeper look, I believe it points us and reminds us of what the spirit of Christmas is really all about. Seeing the good in everybody, spreading Christmas cheer by singing loudly, proclaiming, pointing others to the gospel, treating every day like it's Christmas. Some years ago, when I served in Sherrod's Ford, there in the community was a hospice house where, you know, people would go as they would near the end of their lives for care, and the hospice nurses would care for them there. And so the church I served, we would do things there at the hospice house, or do things for them, for the patients there, for the staff there. One year, though, just before Christmas, one of my daughters said to my wife, Mindy, one day, she asked her, she said, "Hey, are we going to the hospice house to sing carols this year?" And Mindy said, "You know what, you know, I'm not sure." Upon which my daughter said, "You know, I think we should. I was thinking those people there might not have a long time to live, and that might need somebody to sing to them and to cheer them up." You know, I remember that and tell that story because it's just a reminder of what Christmas really is all about, isn't it? Hopefully these Christmas movies have reminded us of this as well. That, you know what, that it's not all about presents, things underneath the tree, you know. It's about being present. It's about loving others. It's about being angels and messengers and ultimately, you know, instruments by which God brings healing and joy and peace and hope and life to a broken world. Because that's how God works most often. God doesn't always send us angels like Clarence or Gabriel. God sends you and me, right? You and me to point others back to God. He sends people to treat every day like it's Christmas, to do good by all the means that we can and all the ways that we can and all the places that we can, to seek to see the good in people, to help transform them and allow God to use us to help redeem them, to be people who are willing to sing loud, not only in word but also in deed, in proclaiming the good news of Christ. To me, that's what Christmas is all about. Let us pray. Lord, may we indeed sing loud for all to hear. Through our smiles, through our words, through our actions, may the spirit of Christmas, the birth of the Savior of the world, fill us so that we can treat every day as if it's Christmas. Sharing your love, embracing your forgiveness, giving thanks for your grace. Use us, O Lord. Let us be your messengers, your angels, your Kris Kringles, your elves. And pointing others to you. For in Christ's name we pray these things. Amen.